Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 9, Edmund Burke. And we are going to discuss Edmund Burke as a critic of natural rights and social contract. Burke pointed out the intricacies of human nature and the complexities of society. And because of such considerations, no simple analysis of human nature or power was possible. Rejecting any claim of either economic or political equality, he provided a theory of rights within this large framework of his political philosophy. He emphasized partnership but denied any corresponding equal rights in the enjoyment of economic and political privileges. In understanding and perpetuating this philosophy, the British Constitution had stood the test of time, emphasizing the utmost need for continuity. Burke pointed out that in the area of morality, principles of government and idea of liberty, there was no need to make a fresh beginning every time. Giving the example of the English achievement, he pointed out the inevitability of the continuous process of adaptability and change within the larger structure, rejecting atheism and pointing out the enormous importance of religion for a proper functioning of civil society. He characterized the individual as a religious animal. He saw no conflict between the existence of an established church, an established monarchy, an established aristocracy, and an established limited democracy. He pointed out that Burke made was that in the modern age, the coexistence of institutions was of utmost importance for effective functioning and efficiency. He stressed the fact that all authority was to be exercised as a trust, and in this, his philosophy was akin to that of Locke. But he emphasized that the continuity of society had to be preserved at any cost. The overall structure of society could not be just reduced to a mere contract between two or more parties. It was not a trade agreement involving paper, coffee, calico, or tobacco. Such agreements reflected only transient interest, which could be dissolved by the parties involved. The intricacies of social relationship had to be understood on a very different plane. It is a partnership in all science, a partnership in all art, a partnership in every virtue and in all perfection. As the ends of such a partnership cannot be obtained in many generations, it becomes a partnership not only between those who are living, but between those who are living, those who are dead, and those who are to be born. Each contract of particular state is but a clause in the great primeval contract of eternal natures, connecting the visibility and invisible world. According to a fixed compact sanctions by the inviolable oath, which holds all physical and all moral natures, each in their appointed place. Along with the rejection of the contract, Burke rejected the other Lockean fundamental natural law, the right of the individual, and the separation of church and the state. The only laws that he recognized were the laws of God and the laws of a civilized society. Burke did not reject the argument of human rights, except that he sought to rescue the real rights from the imagined ones. He shared with Locke the view that the political philosophy was based on theological foundations, but rejected the derivative of political and juridical equality from the argument that God created all human beings as equal. He also rejected the idea of creating order with the help of human reason. He charged the doctrine of natural rights with metaphysical abstraction. It failed to take into account the differences that existed between societies. Following Montesquieu, he insisted that different countries merited different legal and political systems, keeping in view the differences pertaining to climate, geography, and history. The universality of natural rights doctrine overlooked national, geographical, and cultural distinctions. Though his criticism of natural rights seems similar to that of Jeremy Bentham, there were significant differences. Burke's conception of human well-being was not hedonistic, as in the case of Bentham. In fact, it was more like Aristotle's idea of eudaimonia, linking moral virtue and duty with that of political morality and duty. Furthermore, Burke suggested maximization, but by stressing the moral to the mathematical. He was closer to Aristotle's pronesis. He also rejected the utilitarian idea of trade-off. Unlike Bentham, Burke was also cautious about the endless new schemes. Besides emphasizing political virtue, Burke also stressed the need for an elite which enjoyed a privileged position because of its contribution to a common good. He placed aristocracy under this category. In Parliament, this elite could be distinguished from others with reference to ownership of property. For inheritance was a sure reason for conservation. In this context, the French National Assembly did not consist of property owner ideologically inclined, impractical, and dangerous, if not alienated. The basic problem was that the talent that made a good lawyer was not enough to make a good ruler and be a part of the natural aristocracy. The basic shortcomings of a lawyer was that of his experience had a very narrow base. which meant that both the diversity of humankind and complexities of public affairs were beyond his grasp. Next point is limits of reason. Burke questioned the very basic argument that a stable political structure could be established only on the basis of reason. He pointed to the limits of reason and its role in understanding society. In fact, Burke questioned the whole style of rationalistic thought, an argument reiterated by Michel Oakeshott. Quoting Aristotle, he cautioned against a priori deductive reasoning in moral arguments. The philosophy of the French revolutionaries was a false philosophy because of its insistence that all authority derived its sustenance from reason. As opposed to reason, Burke emphasized wisdom as something more than prejudice. The philosophy of natural rights, based on the new principles of liberty and equality, was not conducive to the establishment of order. Veneration of authority developed over a period of time, and the denunciation of one authority by a different group led to its denunciation as well. The abstract revolutionary ideology inevitably led from subversion to anarchy because it brought a consciousness of rights but not of duties of order, discipline, and obedience to authority. Burke repeatedly stressed that societies needed away superstition, ritual, and honor for their stability, and to be able to secure the loyalty and support of those on whom it depended. He warned that a state which dismissed this entire edifice aside in the name of rational enlightenment would ultimately be a state based merely on a lust for power. Burke emphasized that the dignity of human being came through socialization. One rendered obedience to society not because it benefited us or because we had promised to obey it, but because we saw ourselves as an integral part of it. Though he rejected the divine right of kings, he affirmed, like Marcus Tullius Cicero, that nothing was more pleasing to God than the existence of human civitates. He accused the natural rights theorist of not merely imprudence and intellectual arrogance, but of blasphemy and impiety as well. Now we want to wind up this lecture, and thank you so much for your attention.